Let's continue on our discussion on building on the foundation and on the attributes of God. And let's open in prayer. Blessed are you, Lord, and we thank you for your provision, for your love, for your mercy, your grace. We pray that you be with us as we come together to discuss, to read, to pray, to hear the message you have for us today, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds. Allow us to see you every single moment, even through the difficulties in our lives, especially in the difficulties of our lives. Help us to quiet our minds. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we've gone through this attributes, and today we land at love. Love. And a few years back, Troy stand here and he posed a question. He said, "What's love got to do with it?" And I'm still trying to figure out what's love got to do with it. It's got everything to do, says Captain Carl. Everything to do with it. You sure? Yes? What is love? Say again? I'm sorry? Sure. Awesome. But what is love? What does a newspaper say is love? What does I'm going to date myself with what Dr. Ruth says. Wow. That's not love. We know that's not love. But there's a lot of discussion out there. It's love.
Can you say that God is love?
God is love. We'll get there in a sec. And that's the point today. We're going to talk about God's love and his attribute, his essence, everything that we've been discussing is who God is, all of it together. And God is love. Maybe this moves. So let's define God's love. And I'm going to use Gruden's definition. All right? So here we go. Ready? Right there. God's love means that God eternally gives of himself to others. Eternally gives of himself to others. We're done. Let's go have coffee. So what? He gives of himself to others. For what? What does love got to do with this? Huh? To bring a blessing or good for others. Understand this. Love is self-given, self-given for the benefit of others. This attribute, remember, this is an attribute of God, the essence of God, show that it is part of his nature to give himself to bring blessings or the good for others. And how is that? Is he bringing good to you?
That's a given.
Is it a given?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
I mean, in the sense that is a given.
So is it a given? Do you feel it's a given? Yes, ma'am.
So, do we feel it's
around
the same?
Ah! What I feel is irrelevant because everything that God gives me is good. And that is the main difference between the true love, and the love the world defines. That's a feeling. Feelings might be true, but they're not real. The other way around, they might be real, but they're not true. You understand that? You follow that? Yeah? So now let's go where it really makes sense. Let's go to the Bible. And let's start looking at references so we really get to this. Let's look at all of this. Chaz, would you go to 1 John 4, 8 to 10? John Tash, will you go to John 17, 24? On this side, Danny, John 3, 35. And Troy, John 14, 31. Chaz has 1 John. Tash has John 17. Danny, John 3. And Troy, John 14. All right? We ready? 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Anyone who does not know God is love.
Uh-huh. That's the basis of our discussion today. All of it. But we're going to concentrate. We're going to eat it one bite at a time. Okay? So to read again, 1 John 8.
Because God is love.
That's the definition. Are we going to argue with the Bible? We could. Are we wasting our time? Yes. God is love. God is love. First, check mark. God is love. John 17, John Tosh. Uh-huh. What do we see there? God is love, and he gave the love of his son before what? Before the creation. There was love before anything was created. Before the foundation of everything, there was love. Danny, John 3, 35. So, he loved him before the foundation. And now it says, the Father loves. I'm not an English teacher, but that is a continuation. It has a name, and I can't remember what that is. It's a present participle, I think, something like that. It loves. It's not loved or will love. It is continuing. I know Nana will tell me what it is. I can only tell you if it makes a debit or a credit. He loves. So it's present. He is love. He loved before the foundation. And it's presently loves. You follow that?
Present progressive.
See, I know it was a PP somewhere. Present something. Thank you, ma'am. See, I learned something. And I know Troy is like, oh, yeah, that was it. And Troy, John 14:31. Uh-huh. So is it only the Father loving the Son? Read it again, sir. So that the world may know that I love the Father. So it is reciprocal. The Father loves the Son. They're God together, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. We don't see it in the Bible, but I think the Holy Spirit loves the Son and the Father. Because we said that God is love. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. So the world may know, so they can see our love.
So my question is, why is there a condition?
So the world may know. It's not a condition of me loving him. It's I'm showing how much we love. I'm showing the world and our love. That's how I see it.
Trinity.
Mm-hmm. There's no condition of loving. There's no condition of the love. If I'm understanding your question is, are you asking if I'm loving, if it's a condition for his love for God, for loving each other? And I don't see a condition for loving each other.
No, not each other.
Hold on. I have three people that I want to talk. So I have Louis first, then Troy, and then Natalie, okay? Louis. In obedience.
Again.
Yes, sir.
Condition is a result. Is like works team, Jesus said, if you love me, you obey.
Right.
And then he gives the negative. If you don't obey me, you don't love me.
You don't love me.
And then he gives an example of himself. I always do what the Father commands me so that the world may know that I love him.
That I love him. So it's not a condition about loving, but I'm showing how much I love him. So why are you looking at me that way? Hold on. Yeah, we have order here. Obey. Show your love.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. But he never separated. He was, and that's sometimes we can't split him apart. He was always man and always God. And that's because we can't separate him. Right? Doña Nana. I totally agree with you guys. Let's see if Kurt agreed with all of us. You know, I have no idea what you just said. What do you say? Say it again. Say it again. Right. The only work is Christ. It's not works. The only one work. The only sacrifice. The only thing that could have done. The only definition. The only the only sacrifice, the only way was Christ. Yes, sir.
So God loves himself.
The obedience is the result of that love. Because I love him, I'm obedient. That love is first. That love drives that obedience. Jesus' love to with the Father. I love. Right. And correct. And furthermore, so they see that that love, it's unbreakable. So that the world may see our love for each other. I think that's the point. Yeah. Yeah. Sacrificial. Yeah. So let's correct, and we're gonna get there because I want to get to what decídanse, uno de los dos.
If we love him, we must obey, are meant to do. So in him expressing that obedience.
Correct.
Which I think was the point of that verse is that because this exists.
I want to show it's why, because of this love, I'm showing this my love by doing this. Okay? So how is this love? So let's go through God's love, all right? So God's love is uninfluenced. Huh? What does that mean? Well, it means what it means. It means that nothing in you and I can attract God's love. Let's look at this three. Freddie, would you go to Deuteronomy 7 and 8? Astrid, would you read 2 Timothy 1, 9? And Osborne, would you read 1 John 4, 19? So what are we reading? We're reading the explanation of why God chose the Israelites. And he said, by the way, it's not because you were more people than anybody else. There were more in other places. It was because he said what? Read it again. Because he set his
love on you.
He set his love. He just loved you first. You didn't bring anything, is what he's saying. Close your eyes and think about what you brought for God. Can't even close your eyes. Right? Who's got second Timothy? You asked. Go ahead. Not according to our works, but according to what? His own purpose. So he loved us spontaneously. It was him. 1 John 4:19.
We love because he first loved us.
Ah, how many times do we quote that here? I tell myself that every single day. Many times. He doesn't owe me anything. I owe him everything because he loved me first. So we need to have this clear. And I think it's an important truth. And I think it should drive us every single day. His love for us was entirely unmoved by anything in us. Was there anything in you, in me, in us that attracted the heart of God. Absolutely nothing. If anything, everything should have repelled him. But he loved us first. We're done. And that's the miracle. We can discuss all other stuff, and praise be to God who loved us first. That we're here today. That we can say we are his children. That we can discuss whether there's fire in hell, whether there's whatever, it doesn't matter. He loved us first, and we are with him. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It should be a loud amen.
Amen.
Every single day, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
There you go, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. It's funny, but it's not. We should be screaming it. Because we do not deserve his love. We do not. We were talking about his wrath before we started. And that's what we deserve, but we don't talk enough about what we deserve. Because it's scary. Because it's not love. Because it's not culturally sensitive. Yes, sir. No. 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 If anything, he doesn't need to give us his love. He doesn't. His love is eternal. Who can take Jeremiah 31:3? Veronica, Jeremiah 31:3. On this side, Mario, Ephesians 1:4-5. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting, what does that mean?
It lasts forever.
I love when would you define a word with the same word. It's eternal, right? His love has no beginning. You ready, Mario? So what does that say, guys? He chose us when? In him before what? The foundation of the world. Was there a beginning there? In love. If God himself is eternal, and God is love, then love is eternal. It's that simple. Before the creation of the world, he chose us in love. Think about it. Right? Think about that. He predestined us to choose him, basically, in love, before the creation of the world, in love. Are you following that? Are you following the point? Are you understanding the point? His love for us has no beginning and no end. From everlasting to everlasting. Again, John Tosh, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. His love is sovereign. God is sovereign. God is love. His love is sovereign. And I'm going to read Romans 9. Romans 9, 13. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. In other words, he loves whom he chooses to love. Don't ask me. But he chose to love us. Don't question it. He chose to love those who are in him. He loves who he pleases. His love is infinite. Infinite. Everything about God is infinite. His essence fills the heaven and earth. His wisdom has no limit. He knows everything, right? Past, present, and future. We talked about that. His power has no bounds. We talked about that. There's nothing hard for him to do. So his love is limited. His love has no limits. I'll take that one. Ephesians, what I said, 2:4. And this is interesting because it says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespass, had made us alive together with Christ. So that great love, it's a parallel to John 3:16, where it says that God so loved the world. That great love. That is the love of God. And we'll come back to that in a sec. But it has no limits. Yes, sir? The question is, repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Okay.
He blesses those that are in Christ's love.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think the answer is?
I think the answer is wrong.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The well is dry.
Someone wants to help him? Yes, Natalie. You hear that? Mm-hmm. You all hear that? When you hear, Lewis. I agree. I think the generalization. It's what you're talking about. Yeah. And this blanket statement that he loves all sinners. You know, it's. That's what we're talking about, predestination. And that we're talking about the believer. You know, he loves those who he chose to love. He always hates, and that's a strong word, but he, you know, he's a just and holy God. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Who are you talking to? Kurt or Natalie? Kurt. So hold on. Let's go back. Let's take it one at a time. So you're saying that when it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, to whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life," is a general statement for everyone. Are you saying that it's universal when he says that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life?
No.
Okay.
The world.
Okay. But you can't take it just that piece. You have to take the whole.
I know, but if we say the world is just the believers, then where are we?
to whomever believes in him shall not perish. And we can't stop there. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And that's why we can't just stop in one sentence. And that's why we need to study the whole Bible. And the answer is the Bible within the Bible, and it's in the Bible. That's your point. I do believe he doesn't want anyone to perish, but they will perish. They will perish, and it says it is condemned. It was condemned the moment that Adam and Eve sinned. Period. You wanted to say something, I just want to move on. Okay. All right. So, infinite, immutable. I'm going to read James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So his love never changes. He doesn't change. God is love. His love never changes. He's always the same. He's always the same. And I had John 13 there because specifically talks, and I'm going to read it. It says, and this is now the Passover feast. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And we know this story. From then on, they asked, show us the Father. He was betrayed. He suffered. Peter denied him publicly. The rest just disappeared. And he suffered and died. But he loved them till the end. That love never changed. His love is holy. And this is, I'm going to read this one too. Hebrews 12:6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And we talked about his love is never in conflict with his holiness. We mentioned it from the beginning, right? God does not accept sin. He is pure. Now, last but not least, his love is gracious. And I want to read Romans 8:32-39. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Carl. Right.
For us.
Correct. Correct.
But
I would I want to park that one a little bit because I think the love is not different. The expression and the consequences of the love are different. Because God is love and God doesn't change. So I have to think about that a sec, okay? So let me get to finish this, and I want to give at least one point of application through all this, because I think it's important for us to give a point of application. I have two, but at least I'll get to one. So what love got to do with this?
Everything.
So that love, there's no separation, and it's by design. It is that grace and goodwill of God that determine for him to give his son for sinners. That love was the impulse, the power of the incarnation. God became man. For God so loved the world, right? Christ did not die to make God love us, but because God did love his people. Calvary is the supreme demonstration of love of God. He died because he loved us. I've said it three times today. Do you think about that? And Carl just said it. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And that's part of my application. I'm going to get there. Yeah, I need to close, but go ahead.
Well, that's part of the book, if you love one another.
That's my second application. I'll get to it. With all this. So this love, that God loved us first, should drive us to imitate him. An application. First, loving God in return. First, love God in return. And second, by loving others in imitation of the way God loves them. All our obligations to God can be summarized in this. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verses. Please be patient and we'll close. Matthew 22, 37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. 1 John 5, 3. If we love God, we will obey his commandments. 1 John 2, 5. And thus do what is pleasing to him, we will love God, not the world. 1 John 4, 19. And we will do all this because he first loved us. 1 John 4, 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. God himself gave his love to enable us to love each other, basically. So reflect that love in loving one another. And I wanna read this because in preparation of all of this, I have been reconnected to A.W. Pink, and it's I want to read how he closed the love of God. And he says, Here then is an abundant cause for trust and patience under divine affliction. Christ was beloved of the Father, yet he was not exempted from poverty, disgrace, and persecution. He hungered and thirsted. Thus, it was not incompatible with God's love for Christ when he permitted men to spit upon and smite him. Then let not Christian call into question God's love when he is brought under painful afflictions and trials. God did not enrich Christ on earth with temporal prosperity, for he had not where to lay his head. But he did give him the Spirit without measure, John 3:34. Learn then that spiritual blessings are the principal gift of divine love. How blessed to know that when the world hates us, God loves us. Remember, God loved you first. And we can have all the back and forth, but God loved you first. And this is awesome. Troy, would you close us in prayer? Amen.